Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy
and faithfulness.
Friends, this is Adam Borneman with the Ministry Collaborative, and today I'm really pleased to be with my friends Bianca Howard and Ashley Diaz-Mejias, who have gotten a chance to know a bit better in recent years and really admire the ministry and the work that they're doing, and looking forward to this conversation with them. Ashley and Bianca, could you share just a little bit about where you are and what you're doing there?
Reverend Bianca Howard serves at Orange, which is a curriculum and a resource-based company for churches, for children, youth ministries, kids, and student ministries. I serve as one of the Orange specialists, primarily around Black church engagement, but I also direct the parent initiatives for the company. I've been in Next Gen ministry for almost 20 years and served at a Baptist church in Atlanta for about 16, and just started my doctoral work at Fuller around children, youth, and family. So really excited about this topic and formation. So much is happening now and changing. So looking forward to our conversation.
My name is Reverend Ashley Diaz-Mejias. I'm working with a new worshiping community in and around Richmond, Virginia, primarily accompanying incarcerated children and their families. We've been doing that for almost 6 years now. Prior to that, I did a number of different ministry things. But yeah, I started out doing work with middle and high school kids in Memphis, which is where I'm from, and did not think I would wind up back here, but I am back with middle and high school kids and really love it. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, so good to have both of y'all, especially given the context that you're in. And our team has become increasingly interested in faith and in faith formation, or whatever word you'd like to use there, because it seems to be evolving in some really intriguing and frankly beautiful ways, given the time that we're in, the way that faith seems to sustain people through a lot of the different challenges that folks might be facing economically, or the way they feel politically, or just the things they sense in their communities. The way that faith is showing up is something that seems to be increasingly significant in a pretty fraught world and fraught circumstances in a lot of places. So I think especially in the case of youth and families, where both of you have such a wealth of experience and interest and passion, it's just particularly important to take that into consideration as well. So when we say the phrase faith formation, what comes to mind for you?
I have a pretty negative reaction to the phrase, which when you made this invitation, I didn't know that I had that strong of a reaction and had to really think about what was going on there. And I think it's because my experience with it has always been kind of as like an outside force acting on whoever the disciples are going to be, or mm-hmm. some movement towards confining or more particular set of moral tenets that we have assigned as the proper Christian way to be, which, you know, obviously in many moments can be more about whiteness or more about things that are quite violent. But I do think that there's a lot of, I guess, real spiritual formation, like all of us moving towards wholeness happening in our work, and I'm sure in Bianca's too, that I hope actually is not us acting upon these children who are where they are, primarily because we are living in a time of empire, and they are there because of a lack of wholeness in the world, not because of their lack of wholeness. Mm. So I've had a negative reaction to it, but I think unpacking it is really important.
Well, when I think about faith formation, of course, we think of the traditional setting of church spiritual formation within kids and student ministries and those traditional ways of forming faith for families and children. But I think it is happening in so many different spaces right now. Like, yes, the church is primarily the main space, but I think people are exploring just faith in a lot of different areas, in a lot of different avenues. And so it can come in a lot of different ways. I think there's variety to faith formation right now. And that's the exciting part. It's not necessarily traditionally in the church, where there is still some, are people coming back to church for that, or are they trying to find it other places? And I think it's okay that kids and families and teens and adults, just anybody, are exploring it in different forms. It could look very unique right now, and I think that's the exciting part.
Yeah, listening to both of you, it strikes me that this conversation around faith formation or cultivation or spiritual formation, the number of different ways we want to describe it, when you keep pushing on it, it actually becomes a pretty serious conversation about our ecclesiology and what is the church and what is ministry and where does it come from? Mm-hmm. Because I think for a long time, the exception to the rule was, well, look, yeah, someone might have come to faith in this weird way over there, but now, mm-hmm. now they're back to the church, thank God. And I don't know that that's the exception anymore. I think more and more folks are not only realizing, but just kind of coming to accept the fact that, like Jesus said, the Spirit's going to blow wherever it wants to, and just sort of taking that to the nth degree. And so faith is being planted and grown in ways that are totally out of our hands. And it's like ministry from the outside in. It's not starting from this central place and then going out. It's showing up in places on the outside that we are called to recognize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think our context where I have a co-pastor, and then we have some colleagues who come with us to do weekly circle gatherings with kids and then pastoral care visits. And, you know, anybody who's been around a prison or a jail knows there's no shortage of Bible studies and people coming in to do faith stuff. I mean, there's just loads of people want to tell incarcerated folks how to change. And what's been really powerful, at least for me, is the way that one of my mentors has talked about our faith as a landscape of resistance. And I think as that has been more formative to me, going into these facilities, and rather than thinking about bringing something in, we're encountering something that's already there and something that is building a story of worth and value in the face of all these competing narratives that tell quite the opposite. That's where I've found church. And it is very challenging because I can't take my kids. I can't, you know, it's not in the traditional setting, but it does for me, in the name of Jesus and in the ways that I've experienced the Holy Spirit, push back and counter and really scramble the very violent but persuasive narratives that are out there about how we're supposed to be human.
Hmm. Ashley, what you're describing there reminds me of a conversation I had on this podcast several months ago with Matthew Bates, who's an academic and a theologian. And he's done some really good work on the New Testament, talking about faith as allegiance, hmm. that faith is this much more broader, encompassing thing about your whole life is just being caught up into a new allegiance, a new way of seeing the world, a new narrative, hmm. which I'm attracted to because it gets rid of the transactional nature of it, and it gets rid of the, I need to give someone something or change them in a certain way so that they can fit into this kind of space, but rather just a welcome to this allegiance of total freedom. Mm-hmm. And I think particularly in the context of working with incarcerated youth, that strikes me as a very revolutionary way of thinking about it in some ways, especially against the backdrop of the empire narrative that you described.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I mean, it's just so tangible. And I mean, I'm sure we've all been in places where you can just know that the forces of empire are at work. Mm-hmm. And most of the time we live our lives and we just, or at least I live my life and I cooperate and I like driving my car and shopping at Target and doing the normal things. But then I go into this building and I meet these children who are hilarious and delightful. And they're very much like the neighbor that gave me this microphone that I'm using today. And yet the stories that you'll see in the news about them are stories of violence and terror. And mm-hmm. there is always this additional factor of the violence that has occurred at their hands. And the way that we've talked about it most often with the kids and their families has been, what is it that reminds you that you are the most loved, because that is where you will find God's voice in your heart. Hmm. And when you behave and you live out of that place, which is really hard to do, incomprehensibly hard when you're in some of these places, that is a life of discipleship. I'm always wondering if, like, am I just going because I actually really think these kids are fun and they're beautiful and delightful? And like, is this a job? I'm not sure. But we were checking in with the kids to ask them, what's one thing you've learned lately? And this child has endured a lot of trauma and has also been charged and convicted with an extremely serious violent crime. and has been talked about in the courtroom as though we can locate all responsibility for that incident on this child's head, right? The rest of us are absolved and we'll be safer when he's removed. It's a very, like, the economy of all of this is really hard to witness. And he said to me, he goes, yeah, I think I've learned that I am the beautiful face of God. And what he meant by that, and as we talked about it, he meant for the first time he was beginning to realize that he was a reflection of the image of God and could live from that place. Hmm.
Thank you for sharing that, Ashley. That is something I think that is happening a little bit too, as we're talking about formation within children, within youth. There also is a freedom and a liberation that they can get outside of the church institution about what faith means to them and who God is to them and how they're reflecting God, and that there doesn't need to be an institution or a specific place that tells them who they are. But God's image tells us who they are, and they're being created by God. And so I think there's some freedom in that for kids, for young people who may be outside of those traditional walls, that they can see themselves through what God says about them and have the freedom and the liberation to walk in that and not be oppressed by what somebody else says. And so that's exciting that that child already knows that freedom for himself.
What do pastors, lay leaders, congregation members of just your run-of-the-mill mid-size congregation in Anywheresville, USA, what do they need to know about ministry to youth?
I would say that authenticity piece, definitely. They look for leaders that are authentic. It's no more that rock star kind of youth leader anymore. It's about relationship and getting into the weeds with them and doing life with them, and not just somebody on stage that they see once a week that's untouchable, but really somebody that can walk with them through life from in church and outside of church, and showing them that the things that they do outside of church are just as important as what they do inside of church.
So I end up in front of congregations that fit that. And what I want them to know is, you know, and I'm again in a particular place, but I think this applies to a large percentage of children and youth. The children I work with feel an incomprehensible amount of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It is virtually impossible, I think, for many of us to even begin to approach that experience. So I think a big part of what I want those churches to hear is that these are children, that even the youth that we can create caricatures of are still children. They are children. I'm not saying that to invite paternalism, but just to invite compassion and the kind of treatment that we would give our own children.
It's really helpful to hear you both talk about how people might reframe or go deeper on the way that they're thinking about ministry to youth and families. Similarly, to that same crowd of folks, you know, if you're in an auditorium and you've got a bunch of folks who say, Bianca, Ashley, please give us a hopeful word about youth and family ministry. What is that hopeful word? What are you hopeful about? What is inspiring and energizing you in the context that you're in?
Young people really want to know and really are excited about faith. I truly believe that right now. And so I think we need to make room for hard questions and be okay with saying, I don't know, but giving them the space to ask and safe space to just talk about things that are hard for, I guess, the adults to talk about, and be okay with not knowing the answer, but just letting them ask. And if you don't know, just say, okay, you don't know, or I'll try to find an answer for you. And if I don't, let's explore that together and journey through that together. Mm. Kids want to know, they're excited, but I think we just need to give them an opportunity to have spaces to grow, to learn, to serve. They are very much about doing community, helping others, serving others. Give them that opportunity to do that. That justice piece is still very huge for this generation and the upcoming generation. And so how can they put their hands and feet to work for God and for the faith community? And so we got to give them that opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I think I really like what you said about, Bianca, about our collective ability and willingness to ask and stay with hard questions. I have a lot of hope when I'm in a facility with kids, or even I've done a lot of work with adults too, even around those adults, but especially with kids and with their families. The laughter feels like a really holy piece to me, a real experience of interruption of the institutions around us. That gives me hope. Experiencing that as a form of resistance and as a form of God's inbreaking. These children and these families' ability to continue on in spite of just immeasurable stories and violence and pain. I have a lot of hope when I'm with them. I think what becomes challenging for me personally is when I experience, maybe it's that congregation we talked about, you know, when we begin to approach the humanity of people that are so different from us that it becomes threatening to us and we stop being able to ask real questions or invite their humanity to be present with us. And people will start asking questions like, well, what did that kid do? Like, surely there must be some reason why he's being sent away for 50 years. And I think that what gives me hope is when we're willing to ask different questions and really encounter the kids and the families that are in these spaces. We've done great harm, but these humans are quite beautiful.
Amen. Bianca and Ashley, thank you so much for the valuable work you're doing and for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network
of pastors and congregations committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.